Good morning and welcome to ASI Radio's Tuesday morning show. This is actually Wednesday, so it's a special Tuesday morning show where we are coming to you live from ASI's virtual trade show. Kathy's making a face.
What's I just realized for? That we were on.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot for being awake this morning, Kathy. Well, we have a packed studio here. First, we're going to introduce to my left the lovely Kathy Houston, editor of Advantage Magazine. Kathy,
you,
how are you?
I'm awesome.
What are you doing right now?
I'm typing to Catherine Peterson in the chat room.
All right. We will check in with you later. She's in the chat room chatting up with people. Across from Kathy is Jake Kralik. He is our marketing guru extraordinaire.
And hey, everybody.
Jake, how are you?
I'm doing well. Busy day today, but fun day.
All right. Right across from me, and I get to look at her all morning, is the lovely Michelle Bell, the editor of Supplier Global Resource. Michelle, what are you doing?
I'm chatting with Blaine Wilty from American Ad Bag.
Okay, you need to talk a little bit closer to that microphone there.
How's that for you, Joe?
That's a lot better. Okay. Thanks a lot, Michelle. And on the phone, calling in all the way from New York, is the one and only Andy Cohn, the editor of Counselor Magazine. Andy, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you guys doing?
I'm terrific. Now, are you at the virtual trade show, too?
I sure am. I got like six private chats going at one time. I'm busy over here.
Private that you can't tell us about it later, or private that you will tell us about it later?
I will tell you about them later.
All right. Well,
at least some of them.
All right. We'll check in later with Andy Cohn. And as usual, rocking the soundboard, we have Steve Hawk, the beer maestro extraordinaire. And rocking the phones and the feed is the one and only Facebook Vinnie Driscoll. Hey, if there's anything you want to talk to us about today, you can always give us a call at 215-953-4979, or you can send us an email to radio@asicentral.com. If we put you on the air, as usual, you'll get a $25 Visa gift card. But today we are at the trade show, the virtual trade show, so we will be checking in with suppliers, we'll be checking in with attendees, and a lot of other people to see what's going on there. But first, we will get a complete lineup of topics of what we're going to talk today from Michelle Bell.
Well, first, Jakey, Aaron Jakey is going to talk about new, savvy, creative online marketing strategies. Andy's going to tell us about how to win back lost customers, and that's going to be based on a new, exciting series of articles in Counselor Magazine that we're going to be doing. I'm going to discuss an article that's coming out in the upcoming issue of Supplier Global Resource on doing competitive intelligence. Some people think it's creepy and stealthy and stalky, but it's really not, and it's crucial to your business. Of course, we're going to do a zillion things. We're going to check all over the virtual trade show. Kathy's going to be chatting it up with people in the lounges and drinking virtual cocktails. Andy and I are going to be talking to attendees and exhibitors, as is Jake. I'm going to talk about great customer service tips from Zappos, of all places. And Joe, maybe if we have time, we'll give us a rant.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Well, thank you, Michelle. We're going to first go to Andy, who is checking in with attendees at the virtual trade show. But Andy, prior to that, I just want to ask you, what's the big news that went out this morning in Council Promogram Extra?
We had some breaking news this morning. It was that distributor BDA has acquired their fellow top 40 distributor Avigna. So they've come together, at least signed an agreement to come together with a deal expected to close in May. That will create the second largest distributor organization in the industry. So big deal that came across the wire early this morning.
Very good. Thank you, Andy. So what's going on? You're checking in with attendees. Let us know what you're doing.
I am talking to all sorts of attendees. I love this event because attendees are doing so many different things at the same time. It's very funny. I talked with one attendee, Lindsay Williams, who had just gotten into the trade show and then was actually called from somebody else in her office to do a separate project. So she was kind of multitasking while she was attending booths and speaking to people at the show, which is just interesting because, you know, you can do that sort of thing at a virtual trade show. You know, you do your own project from your own desk and also attend the show at the same time. Another attendee I talked to, Barb Walter, she had just gotten in, but was hoping to find some new ideas on products, new ideas on ways she can target different clients and just see some new suppliers. And let's see, another conversation I had was with Robert Hatfield, who had just gotten in and was having a good time just checking out the lobby and making his way into the trade show, the show booth area. So people doing all sorts of different things at the beginning of the show here.
Anyone asking for advice, you know, where to go for education, you know, how many suppliers are here actually exhibiting, anything like that?
I haven't gotten that, but I have gotten somebody who was interested in listening to our radio show, so hopefully she's listening.
Well, you want to give her a shout-out?
Barb Walter.
All right, Barb Walter.
Hey, Barb Walter.
Give us a call. Then you can really be multitasking, working on that extra project,
going to
the virtual trade show and talking to us live on the air at the ASI radio show. Oh, well, thanks, Andy. Keep chatting away there. We'll check back in with you later. Right now, we're going to go over to Jake Kralik, who was speaking with exhibitors. Jake, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of people. There seems to be 400 people running around the booths right now.
Running around.
You've been around. Yeah. Everybody's booth looks great. You know, we've got a lot of different education things today. The ESP is all over the place. If you have any questions about ESP web or ESP orders, just stop into the ASI booth. Anything that you need to know, feel free to ask at the information desk. There's catalogs, information, a bunch of great suppliers. It's pretty much it at the virtual trade show right now.
All right. Well, Jake will check in with you later as you keep chatting it up with our supplier exhibitors. And we're going to go to where else but the lounge to find Kathy Houston, our own lounge lizard. What's
Lidgered?
Happening? Lidger. What's happening, Kat?
Oh, well, everybody's having a blast. Sue from Midtown Promotions is also looking forward to the New York show next week because she's from New York. Tom is having a blast visiting the booths. Zach Parker is really chipper, and he says he's really happy to be here with an exclamation point. And Catherine is looking for 1,200 water bottles without labels. So if anybody can help her, go to the lounge and chatter up.
Chatter up. Very good, Kathy. Now, you stay there. Stay away from the cocktails because we need you to be in your top
too late,
form
Joe.
Today. Too late today. She's having her mimosas already. All right. We're going to take a break right now to hear a message from our sponsor, I Promote You.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or go to www.ipromoteyou.com.
And we are back. Thank you, Michelle. We are going to go over to Jake Kralik, where he has a report here on new online marketing strategies. Go, Jake.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're in a time when crucial marketing tools are email and websites. And some things that I found recently are really quite cool. The first site that I want to bring up is attentionwizard.com. It does eye tracking without actually looking with your eyes. They use these artificial intelligent algorithms to kind of visualize where your eye will go either on a website or an email, and they create an instant heat map so you can predict before you even send the email or before you have someone go into your webpage where someone's eyes are going to go so you can make changes and switch things around. There's also a thing called Crazy Egg. It actually links into your website and it allows you to see where people's mouse goes. So if you have someone who goes, when they get on, they always click in the upper right corner, or they always click on the more information button, you can actually track where people are clicking. And the final one I want to tell you about today is usertesting.com. This is really cool. It's a way to pay a very minimal fee. I was looking at, they're about $25 to $28, and you can get someone who is volunteered to video themselves reviewing your email, reviewing your website, and you get a video review back of the things that they like or dislike or changes that they want to make. Very, very interesting tools, especially for a marketer who may need to have speed. You know, you need to drop things quickly and you need to get feedback quickly.
Very good. We have a feature on ASI Central when we go and look at our videos. There's a feature where you can click a link and you'll see real time people clicking on to that video where they're actually logging in from. And Kathy, we had someone where? China? Was it China?
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, they were checking out the Joe Show. People check out the Joe Show like crazy, like every second.
Do they really?
From as far as like Hong Kong.
That's cool. I know that. Yep. If when people send when you're sending an email express, I know that we get a lot of questions like, is my design right? Or when you're putting an ad into one of our magazines, is the design or the layout right? You can plug actually into Attention Wizard. You can plug your ads right into there, and it'll give you back suggestions for what to do for changes in design.
That is really cool, Jake.
Well, thank you, cool. Jake. All right. Hey, Andy, you still with us?
I sure am.
All right. How do we win back lost customers? How does someone win back a lost customer? We hear you have all the answers.
Oh, I sure do, Joe. Well, we have a new feature in Counselor starting in June, and it's called Cold Case File. And the point of it is we talk to a distributor who has dealt with a customer and has lost a customer. And we talk to them and find out the situation and see why the customer left, see what the situation was, and then we talk to experts and try to find out what that distributor can do to win back that customer. So our first one that's in June was actually a profile of a distributor that was dealing with a hotel client, and she had gotten them through a contact and then got some good deals from them and then was pitching a separate promotion for them, and they basically took her ideas and went to a different distributor and got a lower price. And now they won't really talk to her anymore. So we talked to some experts and found some tips. Let me share some of those tips for you. The first one that that the expert said was to pitch in person. You know, the best thing you can do with clients is to try to make a relationship with them, and in person is the way to go. In this case, this distributor had mostly dealt with them in email and had practically never even met most of the contacts that she was dealing with in person. So she hadn't solidified that relationship enough where they were loyal to her. The second step is to really find out what went wrong. You know, clients will use price as a crutch in a sense. They'll say that price is the reason, but it's often just a convenient excuse. So, you know, they're looking for a way out in a sense. So try to find out, you know, what went wrong, ask some honest questions, be okay with the feedback that you get and use that, you know, as a critique of how you can move forward, not just with that client maybe, but also with your other client relationships. You know, they may have some advice on things that you did wrong that could help you down the road with other clients. The second to last, let me give you this, is to offer ideas. This distributor in the relationship she was dealing with the hotel client, was essentially just taking orders.
Okay.
And she wasn't really trying to create ideas and programs for this client that would create the type of loyalty that you're looking for. So if you've lost a client, it may be because they saw you just as an order taker. You know, you have to be more of a marketing partner to them. And last is to follow up regularly. You don't want to annoy a client necessarily, but you need to find out, number one, like we said, what went wrong, and number two, how you can try to win this client back. So don't be afraid to ask a difficult question, which is, you know, how can I win your business back? But also stay in touch with them. You know, keep them on your email list, keep them on your e-newsletter list. Keep touching them with any type of marketing programs that you have, because you never do know when they're going to get disloyal with another of their distributors. So you want to keep them on your radar as much as possible.
Excellent, Eddie. Well, one of the things, and one of my big pet peeves, is people's over-reliance on email, whether it's, you know, as a sales professional or anyone else you have to deal with. When you hear people say, well, I emailed them three times, it's like, well, did you get on the phone? Did you actually talk to this person? Did you go in person, go and meet them in person?
Because it's lazy.
It's extremely lazy. And the failure to follow up, and I think that that's a theme that we hear a lot with, you know, salespeople in this industry, that they don't follow up with their clients on a regular basis. So, Andy, this entire story can be seen in what issue?
June counselor, and that'll be out later next month.
And this is going to be a recurring series?
It is.
Andy, I have a question.
Kathy, go.
With the article, are you going to present the results, or is that going to be down the line?
Well, it's down the line. We talk to the distributor to see what they think of the steps and how they can use the steps.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of more in the moment where we wouldn't know if they would have won the client back yet.
Yeah, okay.
But they're going to start to try.
So then there will be follow-up.
Yes.
Very good. All right, thank you, Andy. Now, Michelle.
Yes.
Tell me, what are the advantages of doing competitive intelligence?
You know, it's a really smart thing to do right now, and I think a lot of people get put off by it because it sounds a little duplicitous and Machiavellian. And if you do it right, it is not. It is neither, and it's actually a very, very smart thing to do for your business. There's a new article in the upcoming SGR, so for sure suppliers can read it online. But let me just give you a quick little definition of what it actually is. Competitive intelligence is information that you gather that helps you understand the business landscape and informs better decision making. And it begins with identifying your competitors and spotting future competitors, knowing their capabilities, and discovering their intentions. And competitive intelligence really looks kind of into the future and is able to provide you with insight and foresight for your business. It also kind of helps you kind of step out of the way if there's problems in the business landscape. If a company's going down, you want to get paid, obviously, before they go out of, you know, before they go out of business. So you're able to find out early if you're really in tune with what's going on in the business landscape. A couple things you can do that are quick and easy. And, you know, aren't illegal, God knows. You can sign up for Google Alerts to keep track of particular companies in the industry. Also, you can run a search query on your company and then do the same for other companies in your industry. And that's a good way to find out who your competitors are. Trade shows are really a fertile ground for doing competitive intelligence. Talk to your competitors' clients and find out, just ask them in a casual way what your competitor is doing. You know, if a client really likes something that a competitor of yours is doing, that's something that you need to know. Also, debrief your sales force. They're really, the, you know, they have the feet on the street. They know what's going on. They'll be the first ones to hear, really, if something's going wrong with a competitor of yours. Or conversely, if a competitor is doing something that's working really well for them that you may want to try to emulate. And lastly, feedback from your customers. Talk to your customers. They're the ones who are doing business with many different people. So you want to find out what's working for your competitors as well.
The other thing, and I know that some people in this industry do that, when there are publicly traded companies, their competitors will buy stock in them because that it gives you access to the yearly financials, and you know, you can get an idea of, you know, how well they've done for the year.
And in the online world, it's really quite easy to do some hunting on your competitors. I mean, if you get onto their websites, it's easy to view their source codes, and you can see what they use in the background as keywords and distinguishers that let their customers find them.
All legal?
All legal.
All legals, okay.
Yeah, it's all public. You can go on.
And it makes sense. I mean, it really does make sense to know what your competition's doing.
For people in the industry who are not suppliers who won't be able to read this article, I think Andy may do a version in Counselor, but I'm happy to send you a PDF. There's a sidebar to this article about the ethics of competitive intelligence that if you're concerned about it, I'm happy to send you the sidebar. You can email me at mbell@asicentral.com that really kind of spells out, you know, what's okay to do and what's proper to do and what's, you know, what brings about the ick factor that you really want to stay away from.
Well, there's the whole thing going on now with this new iPhone, the 4G, that was left at a bar. Someone took it, sold it to a magazine, who then dismantled it and giving away basically Apple's trade secrets. Apple wanted it back, and now there's a bunch of legal questions. Did this and actually it was a blogger. You know, was this all legal? Is this blogger protected by laws that protect journalists? So, you know, it can get a little dirty and a little skeevy. So you got to make sure that you're on the up and up. Thank you, Michelle.
Sure.
All right, Kathy, back in the lounge. She's looking at me with crazy eyes.
Back in the lounge.
What's going on?
I just want to give another shout-out to Zach Parker, who's listening to the radio show.
Hey, Zach.
That's really
Hi,
nice.
Hi, Zach. And also, Lisa Shade from Kaiser & Blair says, "This is cool. I like being able to attend and still keep an eye on time-sensitive projects on my desk. Thanks."
That's very
Well, you're
good.
Welcome.
You're quite welcome. Stop by the radio booth and say hi to Kathy in person.
What radio booth?
Which is AKA the networking cafe.
The virtual
That's
radio
right.
group
booth.
Chat lounge.
We can't get her out of the lounge, Andy. Andy, what's a creative way to recognize remote workers? Now, you work remotely 3 days a week, so how can we recognize you better?
Oh, you guys recognize me just by talking to me.
Well, we're forced to, Andy.
Take off your wig and your sunglasses. We'll recognize you.
Very nice, Kathy.
Yes.
Well, it is an issue for many distributors because they have salespeople, you know, across the country, and they're not necessarily in offices together. So it is something that distributor principals need to be aware of. The first thing to do is really to recognize when expectations are met. If you have remote workers that do what's asked of them and, you know, to your satisfaction, do everything that you ask, then let them know about it and let everybody else know about it as well. They need to be as connected to the organization as possible. So connect them with recognition, not just to themselves individually, but publicly to the whole company. Second is to get information out. Part of the issues with remote workers is that, like I said, they don't feel connected to their companies as much as people who are in the office. So it's key to get any information out at just lightning speed, as this article says that I'm reading. You know, your team members not only need to have access to the same information as everybody else, but they need to feel that they're getting it at the same time as everybody else. That speed is important. keep up with remote workers as much as possible. Speak to them, if not daily, then certainly weekly. Email makes that very easy right now. Certainly you can email as frequently as possible with remote workers, but also make sure to speak to them as much as you can on the phone. Offer training. You know, there's training that can be done locally, or if they can get to the office, then they can get training that way. And then, you know, do what you can to visit them. You know, especially if they're salespeople, go out on calls with them. Make them feel like you're there as a resource for them. That's probably the biggest way to recognize remote workers is for them to know that they have somebody kind of has their back in the home office.
Is there a delicate balance with recognizing your office workers and your remote workers so that one is not more envious or, you know,
that's a good question,
not
Joe.
As happy? Thank you.
Well, I think it's the same balance that
for
you
once.
Have for just about everybody. You know, certainly remote workers, you want them to try to feel connected, so you try to recognize them as much as you can. But like your question points to, if you're recognizing them more than the people who are in the office, then, you know, that's not something you necessarily want to do either.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Andy, and we recognize you as the most important New York worker we have in the editorial.
Yeah, I feel so honored.
All right. Hey, Jake, we're coming back to you.
Yeah.
Now, one question. How do you get over the bad boss blues? And speak right into that microphone.
You know, it's that's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of things that come in when you have a bad boss. I know that it weighs on your shoulders. There's a lot of things you have to do. I'm going to give you a few tips. The big things that you want to do is that you need to learn to let go. The sooner that you can let go of anger and resentment, the better shape that you're going to be in. You have to take the high road. Don't be bitter. Stop blaming it on this bad boss. Look at yourself and learn from the situation. You know, you can pull away a lot of things that you can carry on with life then that you can improve upon. Assess what you did in the situation. Maybe the boss didn't always do something wrong. Maybe you did something that set them off, or maybe you could have done something different. Look at it as a learning experience. And the final thing that I would say, and this is a really, really good piece of advice, is holding a grudge is like swallowing poison. You know, hoping it poisons the other poison that you have inside of you, or poison the other person. It's gonna stick with you for a long time.
There's a lot of poison going on.
There's a lot of poison. And you know what? Grudges are just, they are not the answer. You really want to walk away from those jobs, even if it's bad, by wishing your boss well, no hard feelings, just cut those ties and say, you know, say goodbye on a good note.
See you, sucker.
You know, you never know. You never know what you're going to have to do. I know the one thing is you really always want to keep a good relationship with past jobs. You want to be able to go back to them for a reference.
Oh, yeah. So,
I've always adopted the scorched earth policy myself.
Yes.
No, Steve always tells me.
Bitter you know, pills. Michelle has swallowed 1,000 bitter pills in her
lifetime. Don't burn bridges.
I'm not going to buy that.
Burning bridges is something you do not want to do because you have no idea, even though you offer someone different as a reference, your potential new employer could go back to the head of that department who you've burned bridges with, and then you haven't done yourself any good. But I think the gist here is that, and you know, you got a bad, you have a job, and you know,
that's true.
Might have to just suck it up for a little bit and learn how to deal better. Kathy?
I just want to tell you that people are really listening to this radio show because I have a couple of people weighing in on stories we've reported.
Well, let's go.
Joe. Zach says, from the San Francisco Chronicle today about your iPhone report and competitive intelligence, the examination of the computers and devices seized Friday from a technology blogger has been put on hold while authorities discuss whether the operation conflicted with California's shield law, whatever that is.
Well, it shields journalists.
Okay.
So in other words, our bloggers, journalists, I think is what you're going to find out this eventually comes to.
Well, thank you, Joe. And then Thomas Wade says he totally agrees with Andy's story on remote workers. He totally agrees with keeping up with remote workers. Even the most motivated salespeople can get off track.
Absolutely. And this is a very remote worker heavy industry because you can have your offices in Philadelphia and have employees all over the place.
Sure. I just got an email from a listener who wants more information on the competitive intelligence article. So you're right. People are listening.
Very good. Well, thanks
for
turning
in. People listening to us.
Yeah.
Check it out.
We all have such nice radio voices, Andy.
That's right.
All right. Well, we are going to go back to Andy, who's checking in with attendees. Andy, what's going on? What are they saying?
You know what? I am doing a great job of interrupting people while they're actually trying to get work done.
He pats himself on the back for something bad, but go ahead.
So I have talked to a few attendees who are just visiting booths. One attendee that was having a meeting in the Logo Mats booth, another that was having a meeting in the Magnet Group's booth, and basically just trying to find out about new products and new ideas that they can bring to their clients. And they all the attendees that I'm speaking with, just this as a medium that they truly enjoy and appreciate, in the sense that they can do it from their desk and actually have meetings with suppliers that are timely and valuable.
It's great. This should be a big message out to the industry too. You know, suppliers take notice. The suppliers that are exhibiting today, you know, this could be you. We have a lot of attendees, and I'm sure that distributors would love to see even more suppliers in the future.
Absolutely.
Catherine says she loves the virtual trade show. Distributor named Catherine Haver.
No, very good. Well, enjoy, Catherine. Now we're going to go to Michelle. Michelle.
Yes.
You have great customer tips from Zappos.
Yes. Do you guys know what Zappos is? Kathy does,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes.
Kathy, would you like to explain?
It's a place you can buy things.
Yeah, actually, it's a okay. it's an online store that originally sold shoes. It was bought by Amazon, and now they sell other things as well, fashion, clothes, shoes, things like that. At a recent event held by American Express Publishing, the Luxury Summit this year, it was held on Monday. They had somebody from Zappos come and speak about what sets them apart with their customer service, and they really sound like they kind of are in the vein of a Nordstrom, who's really known as the high watermark when it comes to customer service. And what they do is, first of all, their call centers don't have scripts, and the average call time isn't monitored. Orders can be delivered in under 24 hours just to provide that wow factor if a customer service person on the phone deems it worthy. It's completely autonomous. They don't have to check with a supervisor. They don't have to check with the manager. They make that decision. Employees have to be both smart and talented, but also have to have a culture fit, and they're giving 5 weeks of training, and that includes whether or not it's a call center rep or a corporate lawyer. They all have to take turns, including the lawyers, the accountants, everybody sitting on the phone and answering calls, which I think is great.
I like it, yeah.
Also, Zappos has a famous, when they hire you, they offer you $2,000 to quit. If you're in the five-week process and you don't think you can make it, they will give you $2,000 just to quit. In 2009, no one took the offer. They all decided to stay.
I think that's great.
So there are 10 core values that Zappos has that really kind of sets it apart, and they are: deliver wow through service, embrace and drive change, create fun and a little weirdness, be adventurous, creative, and open-minded, pursue growth and learning, be open and honest with relationships and communication, build a positive team and family spirit, do more with less, be passionate and determined, and be humble. And they say that they take these core values so seriously. Why people don't quit for the $2,000, people have been fired for not following these guidelines as far as keeping up the Zappos corporate culture.
Now, can anyone think of another business, another company that's just like Zappos?
Google?
REI.
Southwest Airlines, too.
I mean, Southwest, sure. Okay,
they're empowered to make their own decisions as well.
And yeah. I think that employee empowerment's a big thing. I mean, once an employee realizes that they don't have to continue to go up the you know, chain of command to have answers, they will feel like they, you know, are providing something.
I just got an email from Matt at Logo Mats, our friend, and he says that they are doing a giveaway of 3x5 Digimat mats for filling out the survey they have, and they're giving it out to 15 random people. So go to the Logo Mats booth and fill out a survey,
cool.
And you get a free sample.
Instead of walk all over,
thank
we
you,
have
Matt.
To say cursor on over.
There's a tip
mouse
right there.
Back to the training too. Pico, which is the big electric company in the Philadelphia area, prior to everything going computerized, they used to come out and actually read your meters at your house and type in and think. Anyone who worked at Pico, no matter where you started, you had to read meters for 1 month.
Really?
Yeah, a friend of mine, his dad started there back in the late 50s, and he was an engineer, had an engineer's degree. They hired him as an engineer. His first month was reading meters because that was basically the
sounds
important
like
part
how
of their,
I started
you know, business.
Here. They put me on, I know when I started to learn Credit Connect, I went on to the phones to listen to customers for the first month.
It makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
All right, Kathy, we're trying to get you out of the lounge now, and we have a question. There's something out there. KFC's doing something with pink buckets?
Yes, KFC's Pink Bucket Breast Cancer Campaign. Now, this is a case of they're trying to do something nice, and they're getting criticized for it, Joe.
They're getting criticized for it?
They're getting criticized
for it. Is it because
breast,
you know, chicken breast in a pink bucket?
I like this.
Breast cancer.
I like the campaign.
As part of its promotion, they created a pink fried chicken bucket that's printed, and I think this is great, with the names of breast cancer survivors and victims. And for each special bucket it sells, the chain donates 50 cents to Susan Komen Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'm on board.
But critics are saying that they are pinkwashing, and they're doing everything from promoting animal cruelty to exploiting breast cancer. While several media outlets have chastised the chain for working to promote breast cancer awareness while selling a less than healthy product, an organization called Breast Cancer Action has gone a step further, accusing KFC of pinkwashing, which occurs obviously when a company purports to care about breast cancer by promoting a pink ribbon product but manufactures products that are linked to the disease. Did anybody know that?
No.
Oh, no. Is fried chicken linked to breast cancer?
Well, I guess that's what they're saying.
But according to the Journal of American Tools, it is. No, nobody has ever said that.
That's very. I think that's ridiculous.
It is. That's a shame.
You know? And the Susan G. Komen Foundation has also been condemned for partnering with KFC in this promotion.
They do too much good.
The largest breast cancer nonprofit, Komen, has raised over $1.5 billion since its inception, and they're being criticized. I think the whole thing's ridiculous.
For raising more money to try and find a cure for a disease
that's
that kills
thousands
That's
right.
Of
people. So I just think that, you know, there's going to be critics no matter what
you do. No matter what you do.
That's right.
There's
well, we
critics.
We do have a lot of suppliers who do engage in the breast cancer drives, too, mm-hmm. and they have pink products. And
sure,
they
I think our industry probably does some of the biggest stuff, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have today. There's no time for a rant, thank God. So we will say thank you to our sponsor, I Promote You. The virtual trade show is open until 3 o'clock Eastern time today. It'll be ready on demand. It'll be available on demand from Friday for a complete month. Check us out next week where some of us will be in New York City and calling into the radio show where host Kathy Houston will be running a tight ship.
It's going to be crazy, Joe. It's going to be crazy.
You almost said cougar host Kathy Houston.
That too.